Alright, let's turn your Bibles to actually Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. I know we had our scripture reading in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, which is what our text will be today as we talk about what yoke are you under, asking that question. But I want to start by way of a couple of introduction verses. First of all, it's Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, because that is our vision verse that we have for 2022. Obviously, we've been coming through the year and going through the whole book of Exodus, of which we finished up last week, and just looking at the nation of Israel going from bondage slavery to Egypt into having a relationship and being free from that to be able to have a relationship with the Lord. And we've entitled our vision for this year, From Captivity to Christ, coming from a place of being in bondage and being in a place of where we're able to be free and have that liberty to be able to serve the Lord. And it's not something that's just a matter of salvation is concerned, but even as believers in Christ, we still have to make sure that we guard ourselves, that we don't go back into bondage and being entangled in the things of this world. And that's our verse here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. If you were there, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Because we can, as believers in Christ, go back into bondage. If we're going to walk in the flesh instead of walk in the spirit, as this chapter lays out, if we're going to do the things according to the way the world would do things, that gets us back into bondage and entangled in those things, and it's not walking in the liberty where Christ has made us free. And again, just by way of seeing this word yoke, again, we're going to talk about it a little bit as we come through our message today, but I want you to go back to the second place that's seen in Exodus. So actually, Exodus chapter 1 and verse 11. Actually, it's not the word yoke as much as it is dealing with their burdens, because that's the two things that we're going to be seeing today as far as yoke and burdens. But in Exodus chapter 1, I just want you to look down at verse 11. This is when, if you remember way back that we covered this in January of this year, and just coming through and just seeing how the nation of Israel was multiplying and being in Egypt, and the Pharaoh and the Egyptians didn't like that, so they put them in bondage, put them in slavery. And in Exodus 1, verse 11, it says this: "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses." Excuse me. And so we see that they have been afflicted with their burdens. And so as you go to our text today, again in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at verses 28 through 30. Jesus Christ is laying this out to the nation of Israel. And he's really just, giving a call, and that's what we call our first, that's what we're going to have our first point talking about. But he says this in verse 28, specifically is what we're going to cover here in these last three verses. Jesus says this: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So talking about a yoke and a burden. And it's like, really the question is like, what yoke are you under? And we can also say, what burden are you under? Right? Because it's really either or. Either we're yoked together or coupled together with Christ to where His yoke is going to be light. It's not going to be heavy on you as far as His burdens as well. They're going to be easy. But if we're not doing that, then we're going to be yoked to what? The things of this world, the things of our flesh, things that will entangle us in bondage, and it is not light. It is heavy. And this is one of those messages as we kind of bridge the end of our vision for 2022 and getting into our vision of 2023, which will be laid out next week. Really, we're seeing it's like, we got to ask this question of ourselves and kind of an evaluation at the end of this year. I mean, that's the natural time of the year that we do this, coming to the end of the year, going into the beginning. We kind of should reflect on how things went, what maybe we should be doing in the new year and all that. Well, it's a perfect time for a message like this for us and asking, okay, what yoke am I under? Am I serving Christ? Am I dealing with His burden? Or am I still stuck in the things of the flesh or this world of concern? So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see out of these three verses. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for this time. I thank you for all that you have done for us this week and what you've done for us this year. And just coming through the book of Exodus and just learning from the things that we've seen in the nation of Israel and how you, by your mighty hand, took them out of bondage, out of slavery, brought them into the wilderness. You liberated them and you gave them laws, your word, have them to build a tabernacle, a place to be able to meet with you, Lord. And there is so much that we have learned in coming through the book of Exodus. Now as we come to really the end of the year and the end of what we're going to be seeing really in this vision for us going from captivity to Christ and getting into what will be in 2023 and a vision that you laid on my heart for us, what we'll be doing in a year, Lord, I pray that you help us to be reflective, that we would set aside whatever things we have going on after church or things or whatever for the rest of this week, and that we just focus in on what you have to speak to us from your word today. And that we would seriously answer that question, whose yoke am I under? Am I under your yoke? Or am I under the yoke of the things of this world and this flesh? And if the latter is true, Lord, I pray that we have hearts and minds that we want to change that and come unto you. Whether if it's a person that has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would make that decision today. For those of us who are believers, that we have made that decision and we have saved and you've taken us out of that bondage, but yet we've allowed our flesh to get us entangled again and we're not walking in the liberty that you've given us. Lord, I pray that we make the decision today to get back with you, yoked together with you, so you can fulfill the things that you have for us in this life to bring you glory and bring you honor. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at it in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And Jesus is calling them, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I mean, I think this is a great message to have, and I'm thankful that the Lord laid this on my heart for this time. Especially as we come and we're talking about the Christmas season. Now, I know a lot of times for people who especially really love Christmas, Christmas starts at Halloween, right? I mean, that's pretty much what it is. I mean, we can't even get to Thanksgiving. It's like Halloween and then it's Christmas. And we got all the stuff in the stores and everything like that. But a lot of times in this year, it can be a down and depressing time for people. For whatever circumstances and things that have happened in their life, I mean, unfortunately, there's people that endure some tragedies during this time, whether they lose a family member, a loved one, and every year it's a reminder of that. That's hard to deal with. Or just general depression that may happen, and it's like there's things that will burden weighing them down. And it's like, and for people who do not have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have any kind of help in dealing with that. And first and foremost, in dealing with this verse, I want to speak to those who have not really trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. When you look at verse 28, it says, "Come unto me." Jesus is wanting you to come unto him. And this has nothing to do with whatever ethnicity, whatever background, whatever upbringing, whatever that you've done in your life. It does not matter. Jesus is calling you to come unto him. Because he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." You are burdened down with whatever is going on in your life, all the tragedies, all the things like that you've been trying to do on your own, or maybe in the world's wisdom. Jesus said, "Hey, come unto me, let me deal with that," because it says at the end of this verse, "I will give you rest." Whatever the struggle that you're going through, whatever is burdening your heart, whatever it is, Jesus said, come to me. I'll take care of it. I will give you rest. It's a promise. And the idea of rest is the same thing as the word peace. You will have peace in your life. You will have rest in your life. It doesn't mean that all the trials and things like that will just magically go away, but you will have the God of heaven to be able to help you through those things. I got a song. I don't know if you've heard of the Christian singer Toby Mac. I discovered a new song. And this is how I am. I got a song that I really like. I will play that thing several times throughout the day. And it's like, the main thing is like dealing with God and how help is on the way. It may be midnight or midday, never early, never late. What he has claimed, he will hold on. He will do it. Whatever he has claimed, he's gonna do it. Right? You can trust him. And God has his timing. And what's neat about that song, he goes, "I lived enough life to say that help is on the way."
And that's the same with Christ. I mean, he's never early, he's never late, he's always on time. Whatever he has claimed, he's going to uphold that. He is faithful to do that. So Jesus says, hey, come unto me. Give me all of your burdens. Give me all the things that are weighing you down. All your hurts, all the disappointments, all the things. Give them to me. I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. True peace. Peace that the world can't receive. I want you to turn to the Romans real quick. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Again, I'm still first and foremost directing this verse to those who have never accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you've had a religion, but religion is something that's man-made. Religion is something that's man's idea in how to get to heaven. And usually it's a whole system of works and things and do's and don'ts and that sort of thing. No, it's not about that. It's about a relationship. It's about understanding and trusting what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You believe that in your heart, and you confess it with your mouth, as it says in Romans 10:9. But I want you to notice what it says here in Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. That word justified is being declared right or righteous. Therefore, being justified, not by works, but by faith in Christ. By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You want peace or rest with God. You see, before we accept Christ, there's no peace with God. Our sin, our sinful nature separates us from God. And so there's no peace with Him. There's an issue that needs to be dealt with, and it is that sin. And so, as we place our faith in what Jesus Christ has done, that's how we have peace with God. That's important to understand. Because later I will talk about the peace of God. And you can't have peace of God before you have peace with God. That salvation, that relationship being established through Jesus Christ is first and foremost. Now I want you to go back to Matthew again. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And I want to speak to this verse of you, the Christian. You've accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. You have a relationship. You can look back and you know at some point in time in your life, you are confronted with your sin. You understood with Jesus Christ how He paid that debt on the cross for you, His death, burial, and resurrection. You believe that in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You confess Him as Lord in your mouth. You have a relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have done that. Okay, let's look at this verse again. Verse 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The same is true for us believers. How often do we forget to continue to trust God with the things that happen in our life? We get burdened down. You know, we're heavy laden ourselves. And we forget that God is there to take those away from us. Our walk with Christ is also described as a race that we're running. And it's a marathon. It's a long one. Now, I've never ran a marathon, have no desire to run a marathon. You will not see a sticker saying 26.2 miles on my car. You won't see 13.1 as far as a half marathon. I ran 5Ks because I had to when I was in policing, as far as a city cop, that sort of thing. And that was all I could ever stand was running 5K or 3 miles. That's enough, right? Yeah, that's just enough. Because if somebody says to me for 3 miles, I'm fine. You got me. I'm done. All right? I mean, I do not like running. But spiritually speaking, we are in a race, and it is a long one until we go home to be with the Lord. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews real quick. Again, I know this is not doctrine to us, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All right, and so we can devotionally apply some things, but I want you to see this because I love this verse. It's going to be Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The context, we just come from chapter 11, which is also known as the Hall of Faith, where Paul was going through all these great characters and everybody in the Old Testament and how they showed their faith by the things which they did. For them, their salvation is not just by faith, but it is by works. And that's what you see in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so did that. With that in mind, he comes to chapter 12 and verse 1. I want you to look at the first couple of verses. It says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so
easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So there's a whole lot in these two verses. But if you go back to verse 1, you know, there's a great cloud of witnesses. That's chapter 11 that he just laid out. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. You got two different things going on there. We talk about that weight, a burden, being laden down with. So there are things that are not sin, but there are things that are burdening your heart. And then he goes on and he says the sin, and he says that it easily besets us. Folks, we're human beings with a sinful nature. All of us are in the same boat that it doesn't take much for us to get weighted down and to be entangled in bondage or in sin. It's something that we're constantly, as believers in Christ, that we've got to continue to make sure that we're not weighing ourselves down with the cares and the worries and everything that goes on living life on planet Earth, and not to get involved in things of sin that are against God. It's easy for us to get into that. And it can be hard for us to get out. So let's give those things. Let's lay those things aside. Let's give it to our Lord. And we see the example here. It's like this is something you've got to run with patience. All right, this is not a sprint. All right, this is not a 100-yard dash. We and I was a police officer in Marion. We always had our physical fitness test that we had to do like a couple of times a year. You know, and you know how many push-ups, how many sit-ups. I mean, I could crank out sit-ups. I was in the top. I mean, I was a sit-up master. I loathed push-ups. I just got the minimum on push-ups, that sort of thing. How high you can jump? At that time, I could jump really high. That was really good. But then it came to the. We had a 300-meter dash. We hated that more than the mile-and-a-half run that we had to do after that. And all of us, you had a certain amount of time frame to be able to do this in. Folks, our race that we have that's set before us in our relationship with the Lord is not a 300-meter dash or a 100-meter dash. No. It's a race. It's a long race. And we need to do it with patience. And Jesus gives us what we need to do. Notice verse 2 again. It says, looking unto Jesus. Where's your focus at? It can't be on the things of this world. Right? It's got to be on Him. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that started it, and He's the one that can finish it. Alright? I mean, remember, we're supposed to be living by the faith of the Son of God in Galatians 2:20. It's not our meager faith. It's not what we can try to do. It's living by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He started that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why? Because He sets the example. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was able to endure all of that because why? His focus was on God the Father. His focus was on the end result, that I'm at the right hand of God. Well, for us, what's our focus need to be on? Jesus. What's the finished product? We want to be able to rule and reign with Christ. That's going to help me to shed the weight, not get into the sin, to be able to have Jesus to easily help me to be He's the author and finisher of my faith, to be able to guide me through that I can be with Him, being able to rule and reign. Well, see, we have our own doctrine as well that deals with this. Paul speaks to this as you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, one more passage before we move on to our next point. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to pick it up in verse 24. Paul again, talking about our relationship with the Lord, how it is a race, all right? And this is specific doctrine to us, and is dealing with being able to obtain a crown, to be able to rule and reign with Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24, it says this. We know, or it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one that receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The word temperate, dealing with that self-control. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul was laying out, and he's talking about, and he's using sports analogy here. You know, it's like if you're an athlete, if you're running a race, all right, you're going to make sure that you're doing everything. You're going to be temperate, all right? You're not just going to go and eat whatever you want to eat, drink whatever you want to drink, and, you know, not train for this. You're going to make sure that you're keeping your body in subjection. Because your flesh wants whatever. I mean, it wants whatever it wants to please him or please itself, and it doesn't want the things of God. We know that. Paul talks about that in other places. And so you got to keep your body in subjection. You got to be ready for the race. You got to be fit. Talks about fighting. You say boxing, wrestling, whatever you want, and dealing with that. It's like, I'm not going to just go around, you know, beating the air. That's not going to do anything, all right? I got to train to be able to win the fight. Very important. And so they do this to obtain some crown that's corruptible. In other words, it's not going to last. And all my karate endeavors and all the medals and trophies and things that I was able to be able to get, that means I did well that day. It doesn't mean that I'm the best ever that there ever was in karate. That's not the case at all. But all those things are not going to last forever. All right? I did what I needed to do to get that. But yeah, hey, nice. Trust God in all those things. But they're not lasting forever. The crown that I need to be making sure that I'm racing for and training for is to be able to have that incorruptible crown. That I'm going to be able to rule and reign with Christ, right? That's what I got to keep my eyes on. That's what I got to keep my focus on, is that. That's going to help me deal with enduring all the things that we deal with living a Christian life in this world. And Paul goes on and says at the end, and this is a key verse, especially for me personally in my life, because of what it says. It says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." In other words, Paul was concerned that he's, you know, preaching the truth and everything for people to follow that, but yet he's not doing it himself, and he ends up being a castaway, not being able to rule and reign with Christ. Right? And so that should be all of us as we minister the truth of the Word of God. We want to make sure that we are doing what we're telling others, or showing others to do as well. So it's all about running this race. When somebody, and you look at in the Olympics, whatever the case is, they have, seems like, the minimum clothing on. Why? They don't want to be burdened down. They don't want to have something that's going to weigh them down, that's going to slow them down. And it's a great example for us as Christians and our spiritual race. We have got to get rid of the weight and the sin and the things that are slowing us down, weighing us down. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 11. We see Jesus calling people unto him. Man, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I promise. Give him peace. And he goes on to verse 29 and looks at the command that he has here, and he says, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Right, so he has a command here. It's like, not only just to come unto him, but the call, but a command. Hey, take my yoke upon you. See, again, it's like, we're going to be yoked one way or the other. It's a matter of, again, are we going to take Christ's yoke, be coupled together with him to accomplish the task that he would like for us? And again, I say it so often that that's really when you're going to have your life being fulfilled, is when you're doing what Christ has created you to do in him. Being yoked together with him. Alright? As opposed to being yoked together with the things of this world, or sin, bondage, that sort of thing. He says, take my yoke, being coupled together. The idea, every time I say that word, I kind of think of two oxen. Again, the Bible talks about being yoked together. Right, so they're able to plow the field, do the work that's necessary. Do we desire to be yoked with Christ in a practical, everyday sense as the believers in Christ? Or still yoked together with the things of this world? He says, take my yoke upon you. Oh, this is key. And learn of me. If we were to take verse 29 and look at it as salvation, somebody coming to Christ, setting their burdens, their weight, and everything like that, coming to him, and he gives you rest. Verse 29 is about discipleship. You see, it doesn't start and stop with salvation. And it's too often in Christianity, that's exactly what happens. It's verse 28. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, but then we don't do anything after that. Notice, Jesus doesn't say, come unto me, I'm going to give you rest, and, well, that's good enough. No, that's just the beginning. And he says in verse 29, here's a command. It's a command. Come unto me, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I want you to learn. I got some things to teach you and show you. There will be things to help you to understand his focus, his course that he has for you, the things that he wants you to accomplish, the work that he wants you to do. But also learning the things so that we don't get back entangled in the things of this world. Learn of me. It's discipleship. And unfortunately, we have believers in Christ that they don't want to follow that command. They don't want to do that next step. But it's that very thing that's going to help you to continue to have the comfort or the rest. I want you to notice something in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You see the same thing with the Apostle Paul in talking to young Timothy, the pastor of the church of Ephesus. I want you to go to 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and start in verse 14. Remember, this is the last words of the Apostle Paul. The last letter he's going to write because he gets beheaded by Nero, the emperor of Rome. So we're coming down to the very last words that he's saying and saying to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says this, verse 14, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now this is just not Paul talking to Timothy. We're literally talking, these are the words of God that speaks to all of us. That we need to continue in the things that we're learning of Paul, learning of the Word of God laid out to us. And he goes on and reminds them in verse 15, it says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You really see a person growing in the relationship with God, taking the things that they have learned and going beyond that. I would to God that we'd have believers today that would not just stop at salvation, but that they would learn of Christ, learn of the doctrine that we have for us today through the Apostle Paul and the dispensation of grace, being able to grow in that relationship with Christ, so that we can be yoked together with Christ to do the things that he would have us to do. Because that's what you see with Timothy. He comes to the place where he is a man of God, that he is perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's like we saw with the tabernacle. When it was all complete and set up, it was thoroughly furnished to do the work of the ministry. And that's the same thing that God desires for us. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 11. Again, pick it up in verse 29. It says this, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, we need to see this here, this next phrase, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus is describing himself. Because here it is, it's like, I mean, think about it, okay, God, he's asking me to come unto him, okay, yeah, do that, he's going to give me rest, and then he wants me to take his yoke upon myself, and then he wants me to learn of him. And unfortunately, a lot of times people have this idea of God that he is some mean ogre out there somewhere in outer space, and that he's unapproachable and so on. That's not the case. Jesus Christ is meek and lowly. Now, I'm sure you've heard it before, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is the strength under control. Yes, Jesus Christ, he is God. He created everything. He can end my life with a snap of the fingers just like that right now. Right? He can do whatever. He is God. And we need to show him that reverence, respect, and so forth, but he's not unapproachable. He's meek
and lowly. You can approach Him. He's more than willing to sit down and talk to you.
I have this example in my mind. One of the ladies at work, she made this observation to me. She thinks that when I'm preaching, she literally says like this, there's some acting going on because you are totally different when you're preaching as opposed to what you are around work. I mean, I joke around with people, have a good time, get into conversations and things like that. When I'm preaching, just like you can be imposing, you know, and that sort of thing. And when I'm talking about it, I get it. And I told her, look, I go, when I'm preaching, I mean, it's all about serious business. I mean, we've got things that we've got to deal with. But outside of that, I'm still serious, but it's like I want to be approachable. I don't want to be one of those like, well, he's a pastor, this, this, that, and I'm afraid to, you know, say things or talk to him. No. I want people to see me as a normal human being because that's what I am. I have the same struggles that you have. I got to deal with the same things that you do, all right? And I want to be approachable for when you have a question or you have an issue or you have a problem in your life, I hope that you would seek me out and say, you know what? I think he's going to listen to me. I think he's going to maybe give me some good advice. That's why I do what I do. And plus, I like to have a good time, all right? I like to laugh and have a good time. And, you know, Jesus is no different. All right? People have this warped sense of God like he is, without humor, and that there's no, if I say something wrong, he's going to zap me with the lightning and all this other stuff. That is not our God. That's religion's God, but that's not the God of the Bible. Jesus says, I am meek. I am lowly here. Don't be afraid. Come unto me. I'm ready to teach you and to show you. I want to take you from where you're at and bring you unto this place. Just, don't be afraid. You know who, or what the Bible says, who's the meekest person ever? Yeah, we just studied him. Moses. I want you to go back to Numbers in chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. This was Aaron, Miriam, I mean that's the brother and sister of Moses. They had a problem with Moses because of an Ethiopian woman that he had married. And then they're trying to say, well, you know, God doesn't only speak by you, but he speaks by me and others and so forth. And it's like the Lord heard it. And the Lord did not like what Miriam and Aaron were saying. And note what it says in verse 3. If you're in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, you have this commentary that is the testimony that God, or that Moses has before God. It says this, Numbers 12 and verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He absolutely had to be. Remember I said meekness is like having strength under control. You have the ability to do something, but you don't. Alright? And what I mean by that is, you remember Moses? How did he first leave Egypt? There was an Egyptian that was messing with a Hebrew. Moses intervenes and he kills him. And it doesn't say that he had any weapons or anything like that. I mean, just bare hands. Kill the guy. He had power. He had strength. Of course, he flees Egypt. He had to deal with 2 million Jewish people of his own nation in the wilderness whining and complaining and wanting to stone him and go back to Egypt. Remember when we talked about where God said, you know what? They have sinned. Exodus chapter 32, I'm going to wipe them. God, this is how parents do it. We're talking about a sin. God said to Moses, your people that you brought out of Egypt, they're sinning, and I'm going to wipe them all out and start all over with you. Moses could have said, go for it. Sounds good to me. I'm tired of every day whining, complaining, blah, blah, blah. Where's my food? I'm tired of this manna. Where's water? Where's this? Where's that? Where's this? Blah, 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 blah. Moses was very meek and dealt with things biblically. And if Moses, in dealing with that circumstance, think about it. If you were in charge of 2 million people, a nation that was always coming to you whining and complaining about something, how would you deal with it? Indeed, Moses was very meek. Well, if Moses, being a human being, was very meek, according to this, there's nobody else in the Bible more meek than Moses, but there's an exception. What did Jesus Christ say? So what does he say? I am meek and lowly. Humility. And if Moses can be meek, you can bet that Jesus Christ, God, is meek. You don't have to be afraid to come and say, you know, Lord, I don't know this. Teach me. I'll be more than happy to teach it. Here, I want you to, have you considered what it says over here in this verse? Here's what I need you to do. So I want you to get involved. This church over here, they're doing a decent job in teaching the Word of God and raise you up. This is where I'm directing you to go. We're going to help you. We're going to learn and have you go. I mean, he is meek and lowly. He's humble. And we, guess what? We need to have the same qualities as believers in Christ. A lot of times people stay away from the church because, you know what? We are not being meek and lowly. We are not dealing with people and meeting them where they're at. We expect people that are lost in this world to come to Christ and have it all together just in the next day. Did you? No, you didn't. Did I? Not in the least bit. For those of you who are parents, but I mean, wouldn't it be great? You have a baby, and they know how to speak, they know how to walk, they know how to go to the bathroom, feed themselves, go out and get a job. Wouldn't that be something? If that happened, I'd be scared too. It's like, what's wrong with that? Whatever, you know, we got to raise them up. Well, spiritually, it's the same thing. When people come to church, we need to have that meekness. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy real quick before we need to move on. I want you to go to 2 Timothy, had you there earlier, and chapter 2 this time, and we'll pick it up in verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, picking it up in verse 24 to the end of the chapter. It says this. I mean, Paul, again, giving instruction to Timothy, pastor at Ephesus, and that's not an easy place to be a pastor. I mean, a lot of spiritual warfare going on there. And he tells Timothy this. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. They're back into captivity. They're entangled again. How do you deal with people like that? Well, you deal with them with patience, meekness, gentleness. And before you say, it's like, well, I just don't have enough meekness. You have every bit of meekness that you need to deal with all men. This is a matter of if you're going to use it. Because part of the nine fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22 is what? Meekness. If you're a Christian, you got the Spirit of God that's in you, and the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit, is meekness. We all have the meekness that we need to be like a Moses, to be like Jesus Christ, and dealing with those around us. And I get it. There's some people that are hard to deal with. All right? I mean, there's some people that at work that, you know, sometimes there's some of them are easier to deal with than others. I'm not going to mention any names because there's people that watch, you know. But if you're wondering, if you ask me a question tonight, I will tell you if it's you or not. All right, anyhow, no, but I'm just saying. There's some people, and I know I can be the same way. I know that I can be hard to deal with at times. I'm not thinking that I am all that and everybody else is got. No, I know that I can be an issue. I can be a problem. And I want people to deal with me with meekness and gentleness. You know, because why? We all have the same skin on. Human flesh that is prone to sin. We're in the thing together. But we want people to learn and grow. Then we got to be just like Christ. Meekness. Loneliness. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. One more thing to pick up before we move on. Again, he says this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm not going to zap you if you get something wrong or stumble or anything like that. Well, learn from it, pick you up, continue to go on, continue to learn. That's how my yoke is. And he goes on and says, and ye shall find rest, I love this, unto your souls. Here, God, we're created in the image of God. God's Trinity. And we are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 lays that out. Alright? We are a Trinity within ourselves. And deal with the soul. The spirit deals with your mind, your thinking, your thought process. But your soul is your heart, your will, where your emotions are, where you make decisions. And that's why I think it's important that it's not just repeating kind of the same thing, I'm going to give you rest, I'm going to give you rest. But in verse 29 it says, again, ye shall, promise, find rest, or I'm going to say peace, unto your very soul, your heart, your emotions. We are an emotional people. God created us that way. All right? And, you know, and our emotions need to be in check. All right? And it's like, but we'll find rest and peace. Now, there's something I told you a little bit for some of you before church started, because, like, you know, I'm in law enforcement, and every once in a while there are people that are inebriated on something and they do stupid things. Well, Saturday early morning, they had a guy that literally picked a fight with me, and we had a fight. And afterwards, I thought it's the strangest thing. Was I angry at the guy? No. God is my witness, I was not angry. Frustrated that I had to deal with this, all he simply had to do was leave the casino floor, go to his hotel room, and that would have been it. He could have, like, not said anything to me. I thought he was asking for help. But no, he picked a fight. And having to deal with that physical altercation through it all, was I angry? No. Was I like, how dare you? You know, come against my authority. No. I'm having to do something which is really kind of weird. And when you think about it, it's like, I'm having to really go hands-on with this guy. But emotionally, I'm not angry. This is my job. This is the authority that's been granted to me by the state of Kansas and by God himself. Romans chapter 13. I have to deal with this. And what I'm doing is not something that I would not want you, and you guys, you won't see it, but it's like, you know, I wouldn't want you to have to see the video of this kind of thing. But that's the nature of what's going on here. But again, it's like there was, in the midst of all this, it's like, you know what? I pray every day when I go to work, God, you take care of me. Help me to do things according to the law of the land. My point is, like, it was almost strange to think I'm doing something really, I mean, by nature, it's a violent thing. But emotionally, there's no anger. There's no anything. This is my job. This is what I need to do. I'm glad I don't have to do it that often, and more often this year for whatever reasons than others, but that's the way it is. And the thing is, it's like he is able to give you rest or peace within your soul, no matter the circumstance that you have to go through. I can talk to you about, again, like a Toby Mac song. It's like, I've lived a few things. I can tell you some things. When Trish and I going through miscarriages, the last one we had, the seventh one that we had, was when we were living in Canada, and it was a bad one. She was in an emergency room in the hospital. But even when the doctor with the worst bedside manner ever told me what was going on, there was still peace in my soul. Why? Because of my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ prepared me for this. What I'm saying, folks, it's not just words on a page. It is truth. And it's truth that will work in your life if you just give God a chance. Go unto Him. Learn of Him. He will give you rest. I want to give you one more reference before we get into our last point. I want you to go to the book of Philippians real quick. The book of Philippians chapter 4. If you want to have rest, if you want to have peace in your soul, in your spirit, and in your soul, this is the prescription to do that. Philippians chapter 4, and I want you to start in verse 6. And this will deal with prayer, and it will deal with the Word of God. Doing the Word of God, what we're supposed to think on. All right, I mentioned about, you know, sometimes there's time of year there's people that go through depression, and dealing with their thoughts and things that have happened and just whatever. You know, the sun's not seems like it's always out. It's cloudy, whatever the case is. I mean, those are things that unfortunately that will get people down. All right, and it's like how do we deal with that? How do we get through that? How do we have rest in our souls? How do we have that peace? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this: be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication
with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. Don't be full of worry. Don't be full of anxiety. Give it to God. Whatever is burning your heart right now, whatever is weighing you down, give it to Him. Talk to Him about it. He wants you to come to Him and lay those things out. Be thankful in the process as well. And then he goes on to this. He says this in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Only a true, real, living God can give you peace that passes all understanding. In other words, the world cannot understand why you have peace in this trying circumstance. Why would you have peace in some of the most tragic circumstances in your life? And it doesn't mean that it doesn't get you, whatever, but you know that you have a God that will deal with it, that will lift that weight, that will lift that burden, that will help you through it all. You get the peace of God. Because you've already decided at a point in time in your life that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have peace with God. And because you have peace with God, you have access to the peace of God every day, every moment. It literally does not make sense why I can be at a state of peace in my soul and dealing in the middle of a fight. It doesn't make any kind of sense. But if you've been walking with the Lord, you got stories of your own, and you understand exactly what I'm saying. You understand? In the midst of tragedy, you have peace. There's those of you in this congregation that you've been through some very tragic times, and I've seen you still have peace through it all. I hear you say it's like, I thank God for the situation, because if it wasn't for the situation, I wouldn't be where I'm at with my relationship with God. Folks, that is not an earthly normal thing. It's a peace that only God is able to give. And truly, I know that's what everybody in this world wants, and they just don't know how to go about it most of the time. They want a true, lasting peace. And it's through Jesus Christ that you have it. Just come unto Him, learn of Him, take His yoke. You're still in Philippians chapter 4. I want you to pick it up in verse 8. He gives you 8 things to think on. 8 in the Bible is the number of new beginnings, all right? And you see it over and over and over again. There's a reason why Noah's family, there were 8 that got in the ark, because God starts all over with them and populating the earth. And you see it over and over again in several different places. But here you have 8 things to think on in verse 8. And it says this, Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That thinking, that's your mind, that's your spirit. And we've already seen from Philippians 4 and 7, I really didn't make mention of it too much, but again, going back to verse 7, it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts, that's your emotion, and your mind, your thoughts, to Christ Jesus. How often are we so out of kilter because of what's in our thoughts and what's in our heart? What's in our mind, what's in our heart? Our thoughts, our emotions. And God says, hey, give it to me. Give it to me. Let me lift that burden. Let me lift that weight from you. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you rest in your heart and your mind. A lot of times we can't see the answer clearly in front of us because we got all these things going on in our heart and our mind. And what we need to do, talk to God about it. Give you peace. You need to think on those things. Think on these things. You want to talk about mental health? This is it. You're down, you're depressed, you're weighted down by whatever's going on. Give it to God. And not only that, think on these type things. But you can all be laid out by the Word. Spend time in the Word. There's times at work and I'm
Fortunately, this time I got to get my lunchtime or whatever. I got a break, whatever the case is. And it's like, you know what? I got to get in the Word. I need some time in the Word. I need to change my thought process. I need to change my emotions, my heart. It's right here for us. Let me think on those things. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, one word command, do. You learned it from Paul. You learned it from the Word of God. Do it. You received it from the Word of God. Do it. You heard it from the Word of God. Do it. You've seen the example in Paul, or in Christ. Do it. And you know what the result's going to be? What does it say, that last phrase in verse 9? And the God of peace shall be with you. It's not just the praying aspect that will give you peace of heart and mind. It's the doing aspect of His Word. That's why His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It's a matter of, if you want that peace that passes all understanding, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9 is the key. Imagine if we just did that. We got a whole lot of things in here that God's given us to help us through this life and through this world. But just imagine if we just took this next week and we actually applied Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Imagine what our week would be like. Even amidst whatever trial or circumstance is going to happen, it's like, you know what? It really wasn't that bad. I mean, God saw me through it. There's times I didn't even understand how this was going to work out, but it did. It did. I mean, I thought, after my Saturday morning and into, or my, like, I should say, late Friday night, early Sunday morning, or Saturday morning, I didn't sleep much after dealing with that situation, because on my mind is, see, what they don't show you in the police shows, they show all the action, then they don't show you the hours of paperwork that happens afterwards. You look at a cop movie and you think, oh man, that's cool. You see all that? Oh man, there was that car chase, boom, things and explosions. You know what I see? Hours of paperwork. That's what I see. And so all these things are in my mind. It's like, you know, I didn't really sleep that well. I really didn't. And I'm thinking, I don't know how I'm going to make it through tonight in the Sunday morning and preaching and all this other stuff. But you know, here I am. No problem. Didn't have any problem falling asleep on the driving home or anything like that. Made it through without any problem. Why? Because the God of peace is with me. Let's get back to Matthew chapter 11 and pick up our last point. I need to finish up here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. I'm going to read from verse 28 though. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a promise. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Take him. I'm approachable. Right? I'm ready to teach you. All right? I'm ready to help you through, and you're going to find rest on your soul. And then verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Folks, like I said, there's no in-between here. There's no like, well, I don't want to be yoked together with Christ, and I don't think I'm really yoked together with the world or anything like that. I'm my own neutral thing going on. I'm Switzerland. No. Either you're going to be yoked together with Christ, which is a great thing, because His yoke is easy and His burden's light, or you're going to be yoked together with sin, flesh, this world, and that is not easy, and it is not light. And the Lord's saying, here's the command, or here's the condition. What condition do you want to be in? That's my third point. Do you want to be yoked together with the Lord? Or continue to be yoked together in the things of the flesh? Things of this world? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When I think of this verse, I always think about what it was like for Adam in the garden before the sin. Because God gave him a job to do. Right? Adam was yoked together with God to take care of the garden. It's like, here's the garden, and got Adam. And Adam, this is your charge. I'm gonna have you take care of the garden. I mean, if you know me, you know that I am not a green thumb. I'm not a gardener. My wife says, what do you think about putting these flowers, these plants, whatever here? And she'll give me the name. I have no idea what they are. I'm like, what do they look like? All right? I know what a dandelion looks like.
which is a flower and not a weed, by the way.
All right.
But anyhow, I'm like, just don't put it to where I need to mow. That's my concern. All right. If he wants the pansies to grow, put them where I'm not going to mow. All right. That's a great. I like that. All right. All right. Anyhow, so it's like, I mean, I'm not the green thumb. I'm not. One time, I thought I was doing Trish a favor because we had this nice pepper. It wasn't this year. This year, garden was stuck. But the year previous, we had a big pepper plant, and I picked the pepper. I thought, oh, look at me. And you're like, why'd you pick that? I didn't try to pick that yet. But it's green. And it's not ready. I mean, I'm not the green thumb. I'm not. But even I, with the conditions that was before the sin, there was no curse of the ground. There was no thorns, no thistles, no anything. God gave Adam a job of taking care of the garden, and it had to be easy to do. It was well watered. You didn't have to worry about tornadoes, hurricanes, frost, any of that. Perfect climate conditions. I mean, what an easy job that had to be. Being yoked together in ministry with the Lord, something that we're going to be talking a lot about, coming into 2023, it's an easy task. Because he's going to do all the heavy lifting. It's like when Arnold, he doesn't do this often because he knows that I'm really no help. But he said, hey, Charles, can you help me do something? I got something to do. He's doing all the heavy lifting. He knows what's going on. I'm just there to hold something for him or whatever. Take my handkerchief and wipe his forehead. I'm not really doing anything. He's doing all the work. All right? I'm just kind of there. That sort of thing. That's really what it's like for ministry. It's not a hard situation. God will give you everything that you need to do the task, no matter what it is. He wants you to go speak to a neighbor, he'll be there. Yeah, you may be nervous and things like that. That's a good thing because it should make you trust in him more. He just wants to use you as a vessel. Right? That's all it is. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. A last reference and we'll be done. I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. End of this chapter, starting in verse 14. Paul lays this out about the importance of not being unequally yoked. A lot of times it's used in dealing with a marriage situation. Yeah, has that application. Okay, you have that. But it's in general. It's like, it says this in verse 14. So 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And unbelievers, by the way, is not just thinking about people who are lost, who don't have a relationship with the Lord. You can have Christians that come to a place where they don't believe anymore. It's not the only place that talks about that. It's like, that's not a good thing. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or with another name for Satan? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or a non-believer? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In other words, do not be yoked together with something that is not following the Lord. Someone or something. Right? And just like God called the nation of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, out of the world, to receive them unto him with the power of his mighty hand, to be yoked together with God, to have a relationship and a fellowship with him, to be able to serve him. It's the same thing that God wants for us today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, make that decision today. Right? That you get out of the things and the bondage of the sin and the world that's weighing you down. Come unto Jesus. He will give you everything that you need. Beyond just eternal life, which is obviously a great thing, but he has a purpose and a job for you. Us believers in Christ, we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Same thing, it's like, don't go back into that. Don't be entangled back in the things of the world and the flesh and all that. No. Let us continue to walk in the liberty where Christ has made us free. not going back into bondage, not being yoked together in those things, but taking the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's light. It's easy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you again for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that you've shown us. I just pray a simple question that we continue to ask ourselves. What yoke are we under? Are we yoked together, coupled together with you to accomplish the things that you would have us to do? And it's just such a blessing in being yoked together with you because we have rest. We can have peace on a daily basis, no matter what goes on in our life. And as we do that, continue to do the work that you have for us. Lord, help us not be weighted down and burdened down as we run this race. Lord, and being limited in what you would have us accomplish. I pray that we take this message seriously as we come really to the conclusion of our vision this year from captivity to Christ. Help us not to be in captivity, to be weighted down, to be burdened down, but have that easy, light yoke that is a relationship with you to bring you glory and to bring you honor in everything and every aspect of our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.